until they were assessed in the spring. Okay, so next, my colleague Mark Hernandez is going to present on the findings from the Minnesota Reading Core Study.
Good afternoon, everyone. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, yep.
Great, all right, good. So I'm going to present the results of the Minnesota study this past year. And so I'm going to start, we're going to do this by grade. So we're going to start with the older grades and work our way younger. And so first we're going to look at together the combination of second and third graders. A little bit about second and third graders. We had 190 second grade and 212 third grade students who participated. Again, to reiterate what Carrie noted, this year-long study. So for those kids, they started in September and then they concluded their participation in the study after the spring benchmark in May. We had, in terms of the English language learner distribution, 23% of second graders and 23% of both second and third graders were designated as English language learners, a quarter. And in terms of free and reduced price lunch eligibility, an indicator of socioeconomic status, about half of the kids, these are school-wide averages. We did not have individual student level information on this, but we did have school-wide average information. It was about half of the students were free and reduced price lunch eligible. If you look here at the two pie charts, you can see very similar distributions by race, ethnicity. So the majority of these students that we tested were white, about 58 and 62%, whether they're third or fourth graders. The next most common race ethnicity was African American at around 15 to 17%, then Hispanic at around 10 to 12. We also have representation of Asians, American Indian, Alaska Native, and multi-racial participants. So the second and third graders look very similar. You'll see something a little bit different. I should be able to advance. There we go, thank you. Did I advance that?
No, I did it for you, Mark.
Okay, good, thank you. I'll have you advance. So, we'll see something a little bit different from the kindergartners in a moment. The question again that we were answering with this second and third grade study was for second and third grade student, tier two students farthest from the fall benchmark, what's the impact of a full year of Minnesota Reading Core on program participants compared to similar students who did not receive the Reading Core? And what we found in summary here, and I'll show you in graphs in a moment and more specifically, was a substantial effect for the oral reading fluency measure that was used to assess impact for second and third graders. That's a 6.4 word difference. We'll show you what that looks like both in terms of number and in terms of effect size in the next slide. The magnitude of the program's effect on second and third graders' oral reading fluency is equivalent to about 47% or an additional half year of an average student's annual growth in reading proficiency for the literature. Again, it's important to note that that this study focused on children, second and third grade children who were furthest from fall benchmark. It was really a question to us whether or not AmeriCorps members in this program would be capable, could with their program produce these types of outcomes in kids who might require professionals who are providing specialized services to those kids. And in fact, what we find out is that they can provide these services quite effectively. Next slide. Okay, so I'm hoping that you can see a little, maybe this little pointer will work. Can you see a pointer on the screen?
Yep.
Okay, great. So I'm going to walk you through these graphs because we're going to use these graphs for all of the outcomes, both for Minnesota and for Wisconsin, so you know what you're looking at. So here on the left, we'll start with the second grade and take a look here. On the y-axis over here, you're going to see the score, and this is in terms of the outcome that we measured. So for oral reading fluency, this is the number of words read aloud in that minute period of time. And so we are showing you a scale from 0 to 120. And when you go to third grade, you're going to see that scale it goes higher because the kids were expected to be able to read more words fluently in a minute period of time, so 0 to 140. On the x-axis down here, you're going to see the period of time in which we collected data. So this will start with the fall data, and it ends with the spring data. In terms of the lines that you're seeing here, we have four that you can see. The first is this solid line. This is the fall benchmark. So this is the score at which, when Carrie noted that they were program eligible, you have to score below this score to be eligible for reading course services. And so you can see here that our two lines representing our participants down here are both below this line. So this just confirms that the sample that we selected was eligible. And in fact, these kids are pretty far from that benchmark. This benchmark is around 62, 63, and you can see the kids are performing closer to 40. So this is the fall benchmark that shows eligibility. Since I've noted these two lines, you have two lines here, an orange line and a gray line. These two represent the two groups. So the orange line is our program group. These are the kids who received, that were randomly assigned to and received reading course services. The gray line are the children who were randomly assigned to not receive services. And importantly, you see that these two groups start at the same place at the beginning of the year, which we would expect, particularly with a matched pair randomization where we used the pretest score, the fall score, as a way to match them. So this is great. They were starting at the same point. And in this, in these results, if you follow the lines up, you see they end up in different places. And so the children who received the program score ended up moving from about 40 to being able to produce 92 read aloud, 92 words in a minute period of time, whereas those who did not receive the program grew as well, but they grew to 84.8 words. And this is that 8-point difference. About 8-point difference that we mentioned before. The final line that you see here is this dotted line at the top. This is a high bar a spring benchmark where with much work that the Reading Corps has done through data analysis over the years has found that if children can meet or exceed this high level benchmark that they would be on track for scoring well on the Minnesota State reading proficiency test. And so this is an ultimate goal that we'd like kids to be able to hit this and exceed this. So in each of the graphs that we'll show you, you'll see these four lines, the eligibility requirement, the high-level target, and then the two lines representing our program and control. You can see over here for third grade that we have, again, the kids starting at about the same place. Not surprisingly, since these kids are a year older, they start higher than the second graders did at about, let's say, 70 words, 70 words read aloud. No difference. At the start of the year, at the end, we do see a higher score among those in the third grade. This is 112 words read aloud versus 106. Again, another 6-point difference here. And so when we pull, because the children were engaging in the same type of activity, we pulled the data, and using the same assessment, we pulled the data and we looked at the effects of the program on second and third graders combined, and we found, and we converted these results from the metric that is oral reading fluency, number of words read aloud, to an effect size. The effect size for this particular age group was 0.28, and these two stars means that they were statistically significant. A note about effect size: effect sizes are ways to standardize or to convert the metric that you're measuring into something that can be compared apples to apples. So later I'm going to be showing you nonsense words within letter sounds within nonsense words. In kindergarten, I'll be showing you letter sounds by themselves. These are all different types of outcomes. They're all different types of metrics. You can't compare what they score across grades. But what I can do is I can convert those into this effect size unit. And basically, effect sizes, the way you can think about them is zero, there is no effect. And then as you get larger and larger, you get bigger effects. So an effect size of one, for example, is a very large effect, regardless of who you are and what age you are. There's a bit of nuance to effect sizes, and so it used to be a little bit more straightforward. People just figured, you know, if you had a 0.2 effect size, that was small. If you had a 0.8 effect size or above, that was big. But we've learned over time that depending upon the domain that you're operating in, here we're talking about education, and within education, depending upon how old a child is, where they are in development, that what's big and small varies. And so generally, kind of the rule of thumb is the older you get, the harder it is to produce large effect sizes. And so in fact, an effect size that's closer to a 0.2 or a 0.3 is actually quite large for a child who's later in high school versus a child who's in kindergarten. Kindergartners, you can create effects on the scale of 0.6, 0.8, 1.0. Those are more reasonable in a younger age group. And just one last note about the reason for that, particularly with kindergartners and preschoolers, tends to be with respect to exposure. So some children might come to school not having been in a preschool, not having experienced a lot of academic instruction, either formally or informally from their parents. And so you put them in front of high quality instruction, let's say around literacy, and you can see huge gains because they just haven't been exposed. They're ready to learn and they learn it. Once you become a third grader, you don't have these massive effects because of exposure anymore. Kids have been exposed for a number of years. And so now it's something about their ability to take in the information that they're learning. And so again, the effect sizes, that what's big decreases over time. So the point as it regards this slide is to say that a 0.28 effect size, not only is it statistically significant, meaning we're really confident that this effect is not a fluke, that it's a real effect, but that's actually quite substantial for second and third graders who have been learning to read for some time. Next slide. Back one. So another question that we asked in regard to the second and third graders was, does the program impact vary by participant demographics such as gender, race, and English language learner status? And in fact, what we found were that there were larger impacts among these key participant demographic groups in the second and third grade than I just pointed out to you for the full sample. So here, just to reiterate, the full sample effect size was 0.28. But if we look at some of these groups, like in gender, we're looking at males, the size of that subgroup was 198, and the effect size for males was 0.47, much larger than the 0.28 effect, which was already quite substantial. For Black or African American students, there were 66 of those students in this sample. The effect size was even bigger than that. It was 0.50, again, statistically significant. And then finally, for English language learners, there were 94 of them in our sample. Their effect size was 0.53. It was the largest effect we saw of the program. And again, the more stars there are, the more significant it is. So that just says that we're really confident in that outcome. And so the point here is that not only does this program work for everyone, but the groups that we might be most concerned about, or those that we often consider at risk, are actually benefiting more from the program, we did not and were unable to conduct these types of analyses. I'm not going to be able to answer this question for kindergarten and first graders. The sample sizes were much smaller those two groups by design. And so because the sample sizes were smaller, we weren't able to slice and dice the data by these different subgroups. Moving on to the next slide. And good question down there. I know we're going to answer questions later, so just remind me, Laura, when we get to the end. I'm happy to answer that question. So now I want to present to you the kindergarten and first grade students. As a reminder, as Carrie noted, the design of this study was a semester-long study because the previous studies had shown that we had conducted that a semester was long enough to detect the effect of the program. So these children participated between fall of 2017 and winter of 2018. Collected their baseline data in September and their post-test data, if you will, in winter in January. There were 60 kindergartners in the study and 160 first graders. In terms of the demographics of this group, for English language learners, there were 37% of the kindergartners and 31% of first graders, so around a third. For free and reduced price lunch eligibility, about two-thirds of kindergartners, 65.5%, and a little bit over half of the first graders. If you look, I'm going to have you look first here at the first graders. The race ethnicity distribution of the first graders looked quite similar to what you saw earlier for the second and third graders, majority white, followed by African American Hispanic. the kindergarten race ethnicity distribution was a bit different than you see than for first graders or the other age groups. Here, there was more equal representation across the three primary groups you saw before, so white, Hispanic, African-American, and then the Asian population had a higher percentage. We can talk a bit more about why we think that is. I mean, some of it has to do with the just smaller sample size and the fact that we were randomly selecting kids out of a smaller number of kids out of the eligible schools that we've collected data from. Next slide. And so the question here was, for kindergarten and first grade students, what is the impact of a single semester of the Reading Core on program participants compared to similar students who did not receive Reading Core? And so I'll give you the summary of the effects, and then I'll show you those graphs for each of these. For kindergartners, where we assessed letter sound fluency, we found a large effect, a 10.9 letter sound difference. For first grade nonsense word fluency, again, a large effect, 16.3 letter sounds within words. And then we also looked at that first grade oral reading fluency. This is not really a skill that is targeted in the first semester, but the idea, the theory, in terms of the instructional theory here for the Reading Core is that what's taught, what's learned around the nonsense word fluency should have some transfer to oral reading fluency. And so we assessed and looked at that oral reading fluency for those first graders. It's the first time that they received that assessment. And in fact, we found another large and statistically significant effect for that outcome. Next slide. Let me show you what that looks like in terms of graphs. I'm gonna do one slide for each of these. I won't go back over, since we went over how to read these. What you can see here is that the target for this skill is about, let's say it's about seven or eight, and the kids here start quite low, less than five. I'd say it's about two letter sounds upon kindergarten entry. And you can see that they both start the treatment and control at the same place. So again, the group started equally. And you can see how differently they grew. So again, everyone's in school, they're learning, which is great. The control goes from about 2 to 16, whereas the kids who receive the Reading Core grow from 2 all the way up to 27. And it so happens that 27 is that high-level benchmark that was set by the program that suggests that these kids will be on track to have third grade a reading comprehension proficiency. So this is very exciting. The effect size, when we convert this into effect size units, is 0.85, and the star says that's statistically significant. So as I mentioned before, by any way that you think about effect sizes, 0.85 is a large effect for any type of intervention. Next slide, we're gonna look at first graders. So this is nonsense word fluency. Again, the target here for eligibility is, let's say, about 35. You can see that the kids start again at the same place, around 25. Kids who don't receive the Reading Core grow. They grow to be about to do about 45 letter sounds with the nonsense words by winter. The children in the program grow to about 62, and that's within measurement error of that target. I think that it is 63, I believe, is the target at that time. When you look at the effect size units, again, this is 0.81, highly significant, all those stars. So this is another really great finding. So equal size, large effects for both our kindergartner and first graders. The final slide looks at the reading fluency, the oral reading fluency results. This graph looks a little different because we did not collect oral reading fluency data on the first graders at fall because it really isn't developmentally appropriate for the average student at that point in time. Winter is about the time that we can do this and it would be appropriate for most kids. So you're only seeing a point in time picture here and you're seeing the kids who are in the control group scoring 27 or 28. The kids in the program group scoring 41, and there isn't a baseline benchmark here, but there is this target, and the initial target here is 52. the important thing to look at is this difference here between the 41 and 27 on a skill that isn't directly being intervened upon. And the effect size for this is a 0.61 effect that's also statistically significant. So for those who are interested, particularly those who are experts or in literacy instruction, early literacy instruction, about, well, how much does nonsense word fluency instruction potentially transfer to oral reading fluency, which is a more complicated task, there is some evidence here that in fact it does, given that the kids in the program group do perform significantly better on this when they weren't even directly instructed in this skill. Next slide. And so I think, yes, yeah, so those are the results, and I'm going to hand the of Minnesota, and again, that was K through 3, and I'm going to transfer to Carrie, who will share similar results from Wisconsin for kindergarten and first graders.
Thanks, Mark. So Mark, as Mark said, he presented on the findings of the study of the original Reading Core program in Minnesota. So we also did another study on the Wisconsin Reading Core program, which is a replication, advanced slides, which is a replication of the Minnesota Reading Core model. It takes place in Milwaukee Public Schools. 2017 to 18, when we conducted the study, marks the third year of the Reading Core program in Wisconsin. So you have to keep in mind the program's been around for 3 years in Wisconsin versus 15 years in Minnesota. And the program has about, as of last school year, had 18 AmeriCorps members who served as literacy tutors in 10 schools in Milwaukee. So, and all of the schools are located in the city of Milwaukee. So for the study, we replicated the Minnesota Reading Core evaluation design. So again, all 10 schools participated that met the IAL eligibility criteria. So we didn't have to take a sample. There just weren't that many schools, so we just included all of the eligible schools. And the scope of the study was limited to kindergarten and first grade because, as I said, we just didn't have enough program eligible second and third grade students for the study. Do the study. Again, we did a randomized controlled trial, and we tracked reading skills. We had about 176 program and control students in kindergarten and first grade, and we looked at the differences between their fall benchmark and their winter benchmark. So, and again, fall is in September, winter is in January. So the demographics in Wisconsin are quite different than in Minnesota. So we had 64 kindergarten students and 112 first grade students participating in the study. A very small percentage were English language learners, only 6% of kindergarten and maybe about 10% of first grade students. But what we do see is that the percentage of free and reduced price lunch is quite high, 81 to 82% in first grade and kindergarten. And then in terms of demographics, the population is primarily African American, between 80% in first grade and 90% in kindergarten. And then there are small percentages, around 10% or less than 10% Asian, Hispanic, and a very small percentage of white students, around 2%. So again, we present a similar research question. For kindergarten and first grade students, what is the impact of a single semester of the Wisconsin Reading Core on program participants compared to similar students who did not receive the Reading Core program? We did find positive effects, about 6.5 letter sounds difference for kindergarten students, and a positive effect also in first grade. So about 8.7 letter sounds within nonsense word differences. So showing the graphics for that, here is kindergarten. So you can see, as Mark pointed out on the other slides, the fall bench so the fall benchmarks on the bottom is the bottom horizontal line, and then the winter benchmark is the higher horizontal line. And as you can see, the program group, which is the orange line, they met the benchmark after a single semester. The benchmark was 27, and they, you can see they started out, both groups started out very low, below the fall benchmark, and but then the program group achieved the benchmark we would like them to be at after a single semester, compared to the control group. And again, it's a difference of about six and a half letter sounds. The effect size for this was 0.55. So as we would expect, it's a little lower than Minnesota Reading Core, but it's quite impressive, a substantial effect. And then for first grade, we have similar findings. The students started, it's important to point out, the students started very low in first grade. They're way below fall benchmark. By the end of the semester, they had not yet, neither group, the control nor the program, had reached the winter benchmark, but you can see a substantial improvement, much more so in the program group. So the difference in the trajectory for the program group and the control group is pretty obvious from the graph, and there's an effect size of 0.46. So again, a substantial effect for the program group. So next, we're going to talk about our conclusions based on these findings. Mark is going to present on the major takeaways from the Minnesota study, and I will discuss the major takeaways from the Wisconsin study, and then some final thoughts.
So in summary, for Minnesota, we replicated the 2014 study that we had conducted for the K-3 results in 2018. We found significant, statistically significant, meaningful effects in all grades K through 3. We found that Black and ELL students in particular, often considered at risk, particularly benefited from the program, so the effects of the program were larger for those groups. We found, this was what was different from the other study, we found that second and third grade students who we selected for the study because they were furthest from benchmark in fall did significantly benefit from having the reading core interventions. And it supports our previous study's hypothesis that more than one semester of tutoring can produce significant and positive effects on second and third grade students' oral reading fluency. As Carrie had noted in the opening slides, our earlier study in 2014 had only, was a one semester study for all grades. And so so the findings from this one were one semester, kindergarten and first, and we found similar positive effects. We really felt that that we were cutting off the study too early. Kids were still receiving intervention from in second and third grade. We could model what we thought they might be able to do had we stayed with them longer and had some support from our modeling that these kids would have done quite well. And so in this study, we followed them for the full year. And we found, in fact, that they did perform better, statistically significantly better than their counterparts who did not receive the reading core when they had access to the services over the full course of the year. I think that was Minnesota.
Yes, and then for Wisconsin, again, we found positive impacts of the program among kindergarten and first grade students. But I think the important takeaway is that this demonstrates that the Reading Core program can be successfully replicated in other locations. So now that we've done a study on one of the replication sites. So now we have multiple studies, the 2014 study, the 2018 study of Minnesota, and of course the 2018 study of Wisconsin, that show that Reading Core is an effective and a replicable program that helps accelerate student learning. And places them on a trajectory towards grade level reading proficiency by the end of third grade. It's important to note that that the program builds foundational emergent literacy and early reading skills by using data-informed and evidence-based interventions. And this is facilitated through strong organizational supports. They have a strong organizational structure that supports the entire program and its interventions. So just some final thoughts about the study implications. So we have positive impacts, but not just on typically, not just on your typical student, but also typically at-risk students. So we found that the program is very effective with Black and African American students, with English language learner students, and this suggests that these students can particularly benefit from Reading Core. And although we did observe impacts in older grades, in the second and third grade, the program did produce its biggest effects most quickly among younger students. And so that's an important program. I think that can have important program implications because more students can be impacted on earlier grades. So that's something for the program to consider. And then, of course, as a researcher, you know, I think us researchers think always about the next study. And so I think that the only kind of question left is possibly a longitudinal study that could follow students who received Reading Core early or at different times even. There's also a pre-K program, which we didn't discuss today, but it would be great to follow those students longitudinally and figure out, you know, what are the long-term impacts of the program on student performance. So I don't know, we're happy to answer any questions, but I didn't know if you wanted to do a wrap-up.